Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
There are certain people in this world that make life difficult. And sometimes you're that person. Sometimes you're the person that makes life difficult for someone else. I hope that's not you, but used to be me. And I had to heal from it. I had to go through a lot of reflection and change and start focusing on myself instead of focusing on other people, wanting them to change. And I created a healed being in order to help others change so that they can feel as light and liberated as I do, and so can the people they love, and they'll see the amazing changes you're going through. So if that's something that you've discovered about yourself, you're the difficult one in the relationship and you want to change that, head over to healedbeing.com. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hello, this is Paul Coliani, and I'm here to help you learn the skills you need to deal with life's challenges using emotional intelligence and critical thinking without compromising who you are. Man, that sounds tired. Sorry. I think I'm trying to wake up here. This show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. Always seek a professional for your mental health and well-being. Having trouble with pronunciations. I am so glad you are here. Thank you for joining me for another episode of this show. We're on episode 499. So close. Probably means nothing to anyone out there. But to me, 499 episodes after, what are we on, almost nine and a half years. That's just a major accomplishment. So if you have done anything for a long period of time and you've reached some sort of milestone, you know how that feels. It's a pretty good feeling. So here we are at 499. I'm going to get right into the first thing I want to talk about today, which is a message that somebody sent me. And it's just this one thing I want to say to this person who sent in, to anyone that needs to hear this. This person wrote a message, a multi-part message, talking about an abusive relationship he was in with this girl that really hurtful toward him emotionally and physically. And let me read this here. He said, "What made me stay with her was the following. This girl has problems, and I'm here to take care of her and help her to pass her traumas because, after all, I love her." That bothered me. And maybe for the reasons that you don't understand, or maybe for reasons I don't understand, but it bothered me at first. And I thought, why does that bother me? Well, the first thing that came to my mind is you're choosing to stay with somebody that's hurtful toward you. And the reason you gave is because I love her. To me, that's like saying, "I love fire. And I know it burns my hand, but I'm going to keep my hand in that fire because I love fire. Fire is such a life giver. It keeps me warm. I just love having it in my life, and I'm not going to leave it because it doesn't mean to burn me. That's just what fire does. It needs to be tamed. It needs to be controlled." I know that's not what he said, but this is where I go with it. If something is burning you and you choose to continue to allow it to burn you because you see something more in it. That's not a healthy perspective. So that was my first thought. That was the first thing that came to my mind after I read that line. The next thing that came to my mind, I think, is even more important, or maybe just as important. It's up there with the first one. The next thing is something I've thought about for a while, which is when you really love someone, I believe you have to love yourself enough so that you are so abundant in love that you have enough to give to someone else. That may be controversial. Some of you might say, well, that doesn't make sense. If I don't have enough love for myself, I still have love for my children. I get that. And you may have a good argument. I won't argue with that. But let me talk about an intimate relationship or even a family member. Maybe not children. They're kind of in a different category altogether, but definitely close people in your life. I believe you have to love yourself so much that you are abundant in love that you have enough to give to someone else. The reason I say that, especially in this particular instance, the reason I say that, not only in this particular instance, but for every other reason, is that when you have enough love in yourself, then what you're doing is giving the most of yourself to someone else. You're not just giving yourself to someone else. You're not doing that at all. You're just giving the most, best parts of yourself, the parts that you want to share with others. Because what ends up happening is when you don't have enough of something inside yourself and you end up giving it to someone else, not only do you end up more drained faster, your power, your energy ends up being drained faster because you don't have enough. You don't have enough of a supply. What also happens is that you seek what you're lacking inside yourself from the other person, causing them to drain as well. This isn't in every case. This isn't all the time. There are exceptions. But in this particular case, he is continuing to be abused to help her through her traumas, which I'm going to say right off is a very codependent thing. If you're unfamiliar with codependency, I have an episode on that, or it might be an article, I forget. But you can go to theoverwhelmedbrain.com and look up codependent or codependency, and you'll hear my thoughts on that. It is very much wanting to fix or help someone heal or repair someone, whether they want you to or not, because that's what codependency tends to do. It causes us, well, there's many definitions, but part of it is wanting to help someone even if they don't ask for it. It's like the people pleaser syndrome. Can I get you some water? No, I'm not thirsty. Oh, let me get you some water. You look thirsty. I'm really not. I'm okay. Oh, you've been outside all day. You look parched. Let me just get you some water. You can probably tell that might be annoying to somebody if they did it. It used to be me. Not so extreme like that, but that's how I used to be until I started listening to what people wanted and waiting for them to ask. With the occasional saying, you know, I might say something like, hey, you want some water? That's a normal question, of course. We're going to ask questions like that. But this is part of codependency sometimes, is that we're too helpful. We want to help. We want to fix. We want to heal. We want to repair. And that codependency usually comes from something lacking inside of us. And for me, I lacked a lot of stuff. Growing up, I lacked a lot of stuff. I had to heal from a lot of stuff. And of course, self-love, self-compassion, self-care, I was lacking a lot of that. And so it was very difficult for me to give a healthy amount of love to someone in my life when I didn't have enough of it in myself for myself. Now, as I started to say, the reason I am going in this direction with this particular person in this particular case is because when you are loving toward yourself, when you are caring toward yourself, when you are compassionate toward yourself, and you have so much that you are abundant in it and you give to someone else, when you are in that space, when you feel it in yourself, for yourself, you're going to treat yourself differently. You're going to treat yourself better. You're going to treat yourself in a much healthier, much supportive, much more loving way. And what I see from this person, what they're telling me is, Paul, I'm going to keep my hand in the fire until it's nothing but bones. And that's a disgusting picture, I know, but this is how I read what he said. I don't care how much I hurt myself. I don't care how much I expose myself to this, what I like to call relationship radiation. It's so radioactive. I don't care how much I burn as long as I'm here to help her. That tells me that there may not be enough love for you from yourself in there. And I'm walking on thin ice when I say that because I might be wrong. Maybe you love yourself immensely. Then you love others too, or at least you believe that you're doing the right thing and you believe it's noble and this may be who you are. But from my perspective, in many cases, what I've seen is a lack of something inside yourself so that you don't stand up for yourself, so that you don't protect yourself, so that you don't show yourself that you respect yourself, so that you show yourself that you are here to protect and serve you first so that you can serve others. And it doesn't always come down to serving, but it's showing yourself that you want to be around. It's showing yourself that you want to be healthy. You are telling yourself that you are worthy. You are lovable. You are important. You are significant. You are amazing. You hear me say it at the end of every episode. You are this person that deserves to be treated with respect and kindness. Like I say on my other show, Love and Abuse, you deserve to be treated with respect and kindness. And that doesn't mean only from others. That means from yourself as well. Now, I say this not to victim shame you. I don't blame victims for being in this role. My mom was a victim of an abusive relationship for a long time. And I'm not going to say, hey, mom, you just don't love yourself. If you did, you would have gotten out of that relationship. That's not fair. Because when people are in that situation, there's so many factors involved. There's a lot of fear involved. They don't know what's going to happen. Like my mom didn't know what it was like to be out of an abusive relationship. So she never left. That's not the only reason, but she stayed for 40 years, stayed in that abusive relationship, hoping he'd leave, hoping he'd die. She said the words, I hope he dies. It would be easier if he died. I don't know if she really meant it, but probably would have been easier if he died, but he lived and he stayed alive the whole time they were married until he did finally leave. And so she didn't leave because she had fears. She believed she lacked resources, even though she had a lot of supporters around her family, me, that said, we're here when you're ready to leave. We're here when you're ready to go. I'll come and help you pack. I will pay for your move. I will help you get established somewhere else. And she never did. And she had the opportunity. There's a big thing called trauma bonds that keep us with people that aren't healthy for us. We're confused because we believe that trauma is part of the love. Trauma is part of the relationship. It's how we can feel love, because if there's love, there has to be trauma, right? That's the belief. If there's love, there has to be trauma. And if there's trauma, at least we get love. So when there's trauma, I know love's coming. It's like taking a pill to get high or low or whatever. It's taking a pill and then you feel that addiction. And then when the pill wears off, oh, here comes the trauma. I don't want the trauma. I got to take another pill. but I'm going through this trauma. It's withdrawal. I need the pill. And we take the pill again. Oh, we feel great again. Oh, that's that loving feeling. That's a trauma bond. I mean, a simplification of one, but that is a trauma bond. You are experiencing the highs and lows of a relationship because when it's good, it feels so good. It fulfills you. It fulfills what's missing inside. And so when there's nothing missing or very few things missing inside of you, you're less likely to get into a trauma bond. So having a feeling of fulfillment usually means it is the measurement of how much you love yourself, how much you care about yourself, how much you're willing to be kind to yourself, to respect yourself, to not allow yourself to be exposed to dangerous situations. It's all part of it. It's like seeing yourself over there, watching them suffer. Seeing yourself over there, 20 feet away, 100 feet away, whatever. You see yourself and you see them suffering. What are you going to do? Are you going to look at them and say, well, you know, you love that person, so it's okay. You're going to suffer until you can help the other person. But you're watching that person suffer. You're seeing them cry. You're seeing them in sometimes physical pain. Are you going to allow that person to suffer over there? Because that's you. When you look over there and you see yourself suffering, what do you think? It's okay? I hope not. I hope that's not okay. But this is, I like to break this down into a visual like that because it really hits the target hard, at least for me. Because when I see that visual in my mind's eye, I think, oh man, Paul, I can't let you suffer like that. I can't let it happen. I've told quite a few stories on this show over the years where I saw myself suffering in some sort of dissociated state of mind. I would look over at myself and see myself suffering. Hey, Paul, what are you going to do? He's suffering. What are you going to do? Do you love this guy or what? Do you care about this guy? Do you want to support him or what? This is me self-questioning. And of course I do. This is me. I'm going to help him. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, there are circumstances. He's suffering right now. You can see it. You can do something about it. You're right. I can and I will. And one of the stories I like to tell is when I was married, my wife and I needed money. We were broke. We were going to the food kitchen, the soup kitchen every morning. And I finally got a job. I was so happy and we were happy and we were thinking, oh, this is great. Finally got a job. 3 weeks into the job, I realized it was a prison. Not a real prison, but an emotional prison. I felt trapped. I felt like I couldn't be myself. I couldn't create or be creative. I just had to keep my nose on the screen and do what I was told. And that's what I was told to do, literally. Just keep your eyes on the horizon, he said. And what that meant was don't look away. Just stay staring that way because we're not going to listen to anything you say. He didn't use those words necessarily, but the rest of it's pretty spot on. We're not going to listen to anything else you say. Just keep your eyes on the horizon, keep working, and we'll figure it out. You know, us supervisors, us managers, we'll figure out what we need to do. Because I had ideas. Doesn't mean I was just walking into his office saying, hey, let's do this, let's do this. I just asked if we could suggest ideas to make everyone's work easier. And the answer was, don't offer any suggestions. Wow. What do you say to that? Don't offer any suggestions. Just keep your eyes on the horizon and keep your nose to the screen and answer the phones and do whatever you're told to do. I suddenly felt imprisoned. There was no fun, no creativity, no being myself, no ability to offer my input because they just removed individuality and gave you a guideline or a very strict guidelines to follow. And that's all you were supposed to do. And I thought, could we maybe like work here for a while and then offer our input? Or does it ever turn into that? And he said, nope, everyone does what they're told here. That was it. That was it for me. I felt like I was imprisoned, and I felt imprisoned because we needed the money and this was the job that I was waiting for. And now that I had it, I felt like I was stuck. And that was a crappy feeling. It was a crappy feeling to feel like I had no choice but to sit at my desk, stay there all day, and then leave, be as unhappy as I could possibly be at any job, and then come home and try to be happy with my wife. It was impossible, a normal husband. I couldn't do it. So I told my wife when I was working one day that I really hated it there. And I didn't know what to do because I knew I couldn't quit. And she said the most magical words I've ever heard in my life: I'll support you with whatever you decide to do. Who does that? We would definitely be back at the soup kitchen. And she said, I'll support whatever decision you make, or something like that. And I started crying. It was so powerful. It was so freeing. It was like somebody handed me the keys and said, you can leave anytime you want. Just unlock the door and walk out. And that's what I did. I went to my supervisor immediately after I hung up. And I said, well, it's not what I expected. I'm going to leave. And he looked at me and he said, what? I said, I'm quitting. And he said, oh, okay. He was surprised. And I understand. He wasn't the actual guy who told me, you know, just keep your eyes on the horizon. But he was filling in that day. So I didn't get to tell the other guy, which I really would have liked to. But he wasn't there. So I told this guy, and he was a nice guy. I had nothing against him. But boy, walking out of the building that day, I felt like a free man. I felt like being released from prison. I mean, I have no idea what this feels like, but I'm assuming after many, many years of being imprisoned somewhere and walking out and seeing a whole new world, or a world that you don't even recognize, but feels so good because you're away from the environment that you've been in for so long. And I was only in it for 3 weeks, but I felt like this was it. I would not be able to leave. This is going to be permanent, or at least until we get back on our feet, but it certainly wasn't going to be any less than a year. And so when I was married and my wife said that, and I walked out the door, I came home to be a healthy, happy, normal husband. And I thanked her profusely. I was so grateful. And it still touches me today how wonderful of a gesture that was from her, and how the feeling that I had walking away from something that I knew I was stuck in. That's what it feels like in a lot of relationships where there's not much happiness, or even pain and suffering, or like emotional abuse or any type of abuse. It feels like you're stuck. So when you feel like you're stuck, it feels like you can't even consider leaving. But there are keys to unlock the door, and you can leave. It's just that there's a lot of fear sometimes, or there's a lot of beliefs that come into play. Like, I have no money, nowhere to go, no friends. All these beliefs start to invade our mind, and some of them are true. And some of them we just believe are true, and they're not. Sometimes you don't have any money, and you find a way. Sometimes you believe that no one's around to help you, and somebody comes along and helps you. Sometimes you have to look for them. Sometimes you have to just do something and see what happens. Now, I'm not saying that if you have no resources and no money, that if you're in a bad relationship, you should just walk out the door and see what happens. I'm not saying that, because it could be a very difficult road for you. I think most people can do it, but I'm not going to ask you to do that. That would be irresponsible of me. It's something I would do. It's something I've done. I've walked away when I've had no money, and I figured it out. In fact, I can look back in my past and all the choices I've made. I can look back at all the choices I've made when I believed that things weren't going to turn out right, or they were going to turn out really, really bad. And I'm still here today to talk about it. So I've built up enough evidence in my life to know that I will survive just about anything. And this is what a lot of people, or at least people that don't make the hard choices in life, this is what they think, that they can't survive it. Or they don't know what's going to happen and they think they won't survive it, so they don't want to make the choice. So that's why I wanted to, or at least I went that direction, because my mom is a victim of that. She didn't know if she could survive. She didn't know what was in the abyss of that choice. What is past that choice? I don't know. I'm too afraid to find out. So I'm not going to find out. I'm just going to stay uncomfortable because that's the most comfortable. I'm going to continue suffering in this situation because at least it's a suffering I know. And so, you know, I could look at my mom and say, maybe she didn't have enough love for herself. Maybe she didn't have enough respect for herself. And that would be an unfair thing to say. I don't know. I don't know what, if she did or not. But for me, and maybe for you, depends on how you take all of this. For me, I look at anything I expose myself to as a measure of how much I love myself, how much I respect myself, how much I have compassion for myself. And I ask myself, how much am I willing to suffer until I realize I'm hurting myself? I have thought about this even in my current relationship. I have no plans on ever leaving. We're going to be together for the rest of our lives. I love my girlfriend. She loves me. We're in a great relationship. We're in a great situation. But I think in the future, like, what would happen if 10 years from now, if she just suddenly started hurting me and really being awful? And we talked about it and we talked about it and she would still be awful. I mean, there were probably things that were going on in her life that she didn't want to tell me, and that's why she's lashing out. But I would hope that we could get through it. But what if she never stopped? I would hope that we could heal and talk about this or seek therapy. You know, what the hell's going on? This is unlike you. But if she never stopped, I would have to ask myself, at what point are you going to stop allowing yourself to get hurt? And that would have to be a serious question, because now I'm facing a wonderful many, many years or decades together. I'm facing the idea of just ending that. But I have to judge what's going on today. I have to look at it and discern what is healthy for me and what's not. I have to look at the situation today. I can't look at the past 20 or so years and say, well, those were great, but now it's toxic and it's hurting me every day and we can't work it out. And no matter what I try, it's not working. I can't just look at it that way and say, but, you know, we have 20 years, so I'm going to stay. And I love her, so I'm going to stay. There's a point where I'm going to say, I have to go. I can't expose myself to this anymore. I have to go. I can't be in a situation where somebody continues to hurt me who claims that they love me. I mean, maybe she doesn't. Maybe she doesn't love me and she's lashing out because she doesn't want to tell me the truth. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons people lash out or become hurtful or abusive. And if she doesn't love me, then I'd rather have her say, I don't love you anymore. I know that hurts. I know that hurts to hear, but I don't love you anymore. And I could continue being passive aggressive and hurting you in ways or trying to make you see that I don't love you, but I'm just going to come straight out and say, I don't love you anymore. I would rather hear that hurtful, devastating comment than to live the next many, many, who knows how many years being hurt or abused from her not being honest with me. You know, that's a made-up scenario, but it's definitely relevant to a lot of people's relationships. So I share that because I think it's important to understand that when you give yourself love, compassion, show yourself that you care, that you support yourself, that you respect yourself, that you won't allow anyone else to hurt you, when you show yourself all of that, then you're willing to make harder decisions to make sure that your integrity stays intact, your psyche stays intact, your spirit stays intact. You as a being that needs to function on this earth, you who wants to be happy, you who doesn't want to spend a lot of time around toxicity and hurtful behavior, you deserve to be treated better than that. And if you aren't being treated better than that, it's important to look within and ask yourself, how am I mistreating myself, or how am I disrespecting myself? And again, I'm skating on thin ice there, because I do believe that most people, they do love themselves. At least if they listen to a show like this, why would you listen to a show like this if you didn't love yourself? I know. But then there are codependent behavior types that will do certain things to put themselves in harm's way. And if you have the notion that it's important to have self-respect, self-love, self-care, self-compassion, and have so much of that that you're abundant in it, and it causes you to love yourself so much that you don't expose yourself to hurtful behavior or toxic situations, that you can also be so abundant that you can give it to others, then what you're doing is creating the healthiest environment, the healthiest foundation for love to blossom. That's a corny romantic novel sign of thing, but it's true. I mean, if you want love to grow and the bond to strengthen, then that's how it happens, in my opinion. This is from me. I'm not citing any textbooks here or anything like that. This is my philosophy. This is how I live. It is one of my new favorite healthy habits. When I wake up and I'm really thirsty, it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes I wake up and I'm really thirsty, I make my element drink and down that chocolate salt, my favorite chocolate salt element drink, and it fills my system with electrolytes, potassium, magnesium, sodium, everything that the body needs. And getting older, I'm working out because I don't want to be stationary. I don't want to have a sedentary lifestyle. I've started working out, and what do you need? Electrolytes. So that's what I do. I make my element drink. It is so important to replenish your electrolytes when you're working out, when you keep an active lifestyle, even after a few glasses of wine, I'm told. So I'm here to tell you about Element. It's L-M-N-T. It's pronounced Element. And it's formulated to help anyone with their electrolyte needs. It can help prevent and eliminate headaches, muscle cramps, fatigue, sleeplessness, and other common symptoms of electrolyte deficiency. That's why I'm sharing this. I love their flavors. I've already said chocolate's my favorite. Just add water, mix it up or shake it up, and you're good. And right now, Element is offering listeners of this show a free sample pack with any purchase. This is a great way to try all 8 flavors or share Element with a salty friend. Get yours at drinklmnt.com/brain. drinklmnt.com/brain. This deal is only available through my link. You must go to drinklmnt.com/brain. Element even offers a no questions asked refund. How am I going to make sure my relationship is great? I better love myself, at least enough, so that if someone I love starts coming down on me and calling me bad names or hurting me, I'm going to stop them because I love myself. Paul, I respect you. And others have to respect you too, because I respect you, and I won't allow others to disrespect you. That's how I approach it. That's how I have lived for many, many years now. And it doesn't mean I'm some jerk with these huge boundary walls that nobody can ever get by. And I'm not being aggressive about it. I'm not doing any of that because I have enough love in myself to be so abundant that I can love others. And if I have to honor myself, I'm going to do so with love for them. I've done this many times with people I love. Hey, you know what? That's a little bit disrespectful. I love you. I don't want to go there. Let's not have this conversation or at least talk about it this way. Let's back up and remember that we still have a loving relationship here. And I want to keep that. I want to keep this relationship on the basis or the foundation it was, where we were kind and respectful and loving toward each other. So please, you know, don't disrespect. Let's talk about this. I believe it's very possible, I know it is, to love someone with boundaries. I love you and I respect you and I will support you, but, you know, don't cross that line. You don't have to cross that line. I'm here for you. I'm here to see you, that you're happy. I want you to be happy. But don't cross that line. We don't have to go there. This is bigger than that. You know, what we have is bigger than that. So let's just, you know, get past this or maybe agree to disagree. We'll visit it later, whatever. I love you. I don't want to go there. I don't want to make it about that. I don't want to make our relationship about that. We have something great here. And I don't want to ruin that. I call that honoring myself with love for the other person. I'm going to honor myself with love for that person. That means I don't have to be aggressive. I don't have to say, step back, you jerk. I can just say, I love what we have together. Could you please not go there? Could you please not disrespect me? Actually, maybe a little bit more assertive. But that's where I am. I still love them. I'm not making our connection about the moment. I'm making our connection about everything that we have, everything that we share, everything that's good. And then if they try to cross the line or they really want to push my buttons, I may just have to walk away and say, let's just talk later. You know, this is getting really heated. And I'll walk away. It's still honoring myself with love for them. If it was honoring myself without love for them, it would be, step back, you jerk. You have no right to do that. I'm going to smack you if you come any closer. It's not very loving. It's honoring yourself, absolutely. It's a little aggressive. And I'm not saying that there aren't times where you might need to do that, but I do try to keep the love in there. So I'm going to honor myself with love for that person. And that's what I like to convey to like people who write in and say, I want to stay with this person because I love them, even though they're hurting me. I need you to honor yourself so much that you won't take the abusive behavior, that you won't allow it into your life. That's my message for you. And the person who wrote, they also said, you know, there was more to it. There was more to the message. I didn't read anything on the air except for that one line. He did go on to say that we eventually broke up. And it's painful for me. You know, how do I deal with this? We broke up. You know, this is your time to reflect on everything you need to give yourself so that you don't seek it from someone else. And this may not be the answer you want. I think it's not, actually. I don't think it's the answer you want. But I think it's important that you hear it. I think it's important because if you do have this codependency or these codependent personality traits, then it's important that you learn what you're missing inside yourself that you might be trying to seek from someone else. If it's a trauma bond that you were in with her, which it sounds like it was, then what were you trying to get from her? It sounds to me like if I were to assume what might have been happening, it sounds to me that you were trying to receive love from her and you were doing everything in your power to get it. But you weren't, or you did get it in spurts, but there was so much abusive behavior that when you got it, it was great, but when you didn't, it was very hurtful, but you decided to endure the hurt and tolerate it, and develop a resilience to it so that you could get through it to get to the love again, which in turn fulfilled you. Because maybe you didn't feel enough of it in yourself, from yourself. And maybe you felt, there are many directions we can go with this. Or there are many aspects of this that could be happening. Maybe you felt like you maybe didn't deserve love, or maybe you felt like you did deserve love, but never got enough of it when you were a child, and now you're trying to seek it from her. Or maybe you think you do love yourself enough, and it's just not enough. I mean, maybe you don't know that. But I do believe that loving yourself requires you to protect yourself from harm. And it's not always easy. We can't always do it. There are people in our lives that will be hurtful and abusive and toxic. There are people like that. Sometimes we just have to do our best and get through the situation and finally get away from that when we can, if we can, but hopefully you can. And then you can move on and start working on yourself, because sometimes they're always around, or they're around so much that we just can't get enough of a break and be alone enough to really reflect on our lives and work on what we need to work on inside ourselves. It's a very, very deep topic, because, you know, how do you love yourself? How do you give yourself this compassion and strength? I mean, there's so much to talk about there. I do talk about that in other episodes. At theoverwhelmedbrain.com, you can use the search bar and search for things like that. But, you know, self-worth, self-esteem, things like that. But it is a deeper topic that I can't necessarily expand on today, but let's just say that's the start you might need to understand why you might give a little too much of yourself to others, to the point that you are exposing yourself to very harmful behaviors in a very toxic environment. And the breakup, you know, this person who wrote, they broke up. I think she left him and he became depressed. And it's very sad. It was a very sad story. It touched me. But there is an opportunity when you are single, an opportunity to explore yourself, do some healing, figuring yourself out, reflecting on what you need and what you were looking for and what you were gaining from that relationship, and also what you were losing from that relationship. What did you lose by being in that relationship? There is loss there. I don't want to give it away. You'll figure this out. There is loss. And you have to get in touch with both sides of that. What was I gaining? What was I losing? You have to know this stuff. Okay, I was losing this and this and this, probably deeper than that. I would look at my own relationship. If I was with this person, I would say I was losing a lot of my dignity. I was losing a lot of feeling like myself. I felt like I was slowly dissolving from the inside out because I couldn't be myself around this person. I couldn't be authentic because it would trigger her and then I would be abused again. I mean, there's so much to dig into there. And it's important to get to the heart of that inside yourself before you get into a reconciliation with her or a relationship with somebody else. You really need to explore that in yourself, reflect on it, and make sure that you're doing the healing that you need to do. And grieving a breakup is a process. It definitely has to happen. And breaking up doesn't always mean it's over. Most of the time it does, but sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it's a new beginning. But while you're in the grieving phase, while you're in pain, it's hard to listen to anybody that comes up and says, you'll be fine. You'll make it through it. You're strong. Don't worry. Things will get better. It's hard to listen to somebody say that when you're grieving. I know this for a fact. I've grieved many broken relationships. I created them all. I grieved all my broken relationships that I created. That's a different story. I got years of it on this show. Years of stories. And when I had those breakups, I had to go through my grieving process. And my first relationship, I was so damn codependent. I was so reliant on her for my happiness, to fulfill all the things missing inside of me, that it drained her. I left drained because she could never give enough to me. Not her fault, my fault, because it would never be enough. There could never be enough for someone, at least like me, back then, because I was so unfulfilled in so many ways. Because I never felt like I could be happy alone. So I never believed that being alone led to happiness. So I always sought the next relationship. But once I was able to heal and realize how great of a catch I am, how wonderful a person I am, how amazing I am, even if I didn't believe it, I was just telling myself, you know what? I mean, it sounds like affirmations, I know, but I was trying to let myself know that you're a great guy, Paul. You're a great guy. Why do you even think any less of yourself? And this actually led to healing my jealousy issues too. I used to have severe jealousy issues because I didn't think that I was good enough, because obviously there are many, many other guys out there that are better than me, stronger than me, better looking, a lot more money than me, drive nicer cars, have more houses. I mean, all the things that us jealous guys or formerly jealous guys used to think, that's what went through my head. So if those guys are out there, then of course, if my girlfriend or my wife or whoever talks to another guy, there's a huge chance she's going to leave me for him. That was my limited thinking back then. Of course she's going to leave me for him. He's better in all these ways. And then I finally decided the one statement that probably saved me for the rest of my life from jealousy was, if he's so great, then why did she pick me? If he's so great, if other people are out there that are so much better than me, then why did she pick me? I had to wrestle with that one. I had to figure out that there was something special about me, obviously. Otherwise, she wouldn't have picked me. But that guy's stronger. He's got a better body. He's got nicer hair. He's got more money. But I didn't know that. I mean, I'm just making a guess, but I am assuming that because I must have low self-worth. And so I finally decided that there's got to be something special about me for her to bypass this entire selection of the male species or female species or whoever out there that she might be attracted to, this entire selection out there, and she chose me? Well, what does that mean? That means there's something special about me. That means there's something very specific, or many, many things specific about me that she must appreciate, that she must like, that must be so unique that it's these things are not found in anyone else. And I started embracing that, and it started to fulfill me. The belief that all of that was true. I believed all of that was true. There must be something special, or many things special about me, for her to bypass all those other people, for her to not want to go back to her exes. There must be something special about me because I'm not any of them. And if I'm not any of them, she must not want them. She must want me. Because if I was any of them, then she wouldn't want me. Boy, that really hit hard. And I was able to pretty much resolve my jealousy from that point on, because I started believing, damn it, that I'm a great catch. And this doesn't have to be only about intimate relationships. It just has to be about what's missing inside of you, what makes you special, what makes you as unique, original, and wonderful as anyone else on the planet. Yes, you are as unique and wonderful and original as anyone else on the planet. Some people are better at things. Some people are worse at things. Some people have more money. Some people have less money. We are all different. And it's so important, whether you're single or not, whether you have people in your life or not, it's so important to remember that what might be or what might feel missing inside of you, that if you're looking to fulfill that from someone else, you might not be getting the right people in your life. You might not be bringing the right people in your life, because what you're doing is trying to, it's that saying, right? You're completing, you're trying to complete yourself. You complete me. That's the movie line, right? You complete me. That is such a disaster. Do not try to find someone to complete you. Find someone to compliment you. You compliment me. You are in alignment with me. You feel good to be around. You share similar values. Even some values that you don't share. You have a nice personality. I like to be with you. You're kind. I like kind people. There's so many other components of what makes someone special. And when you find someone that you really connect with, romantically or not, friendship or not, even your own family, you can feel there are differences between us. There are differences. There's always a difference. But all those differences, I mean, this is old cliche stuff, it makes us special. All those differences make us special, which is coming back to jealousy, which I don't even remember how I got on, but that's how I got over my jealousy, realizing that, yes, I am so damn unique. I am one of 8 point whatever billion people on the planet, but I'm only that one. And she chose me. How do you get past that mind-boggling statistic? That just, wow, that makes me just, my brain melt. So I'm going to leave this here because I could go in any direction, but I'm so glad you tuned in today. And thank you for writing that. I don't know if this person who wrote, don't know if that helps you or not, but I hope I've given you something to think about and reflect upon, because you deserve to be happy. You deserve to feel loved, to feel worthy. You are important. You are significant. You are unique. And yes, you are amazing. Just own it. Own it. That's what you are. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back with my final words right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank our patrons this week. Christy, Adriana, Leela, Anna, Allison, Deborah, Vanessa, Veronica, Holly, Harriet, Andreas. Again, if I butcher your names, just tell my boss. I want to thank those patrons. Those are the financial donors we have on a monthly basis, and they have valued the show, so they decided to give back because they were in a position to do so, and I am so grateful for those people, and that's why I read their names every week, different names every week. And if you find value in the show like these patrons do and you want to give back, head over to moretob.com and you'll have an option to do that and join the patron program or give a monthly donation. Totally up to you. Thank you, patrons. I appreciate all of you. I'm very grateful. And for a show on how to deal with difficult relationships, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, go to loveandabuse.com. Yeah, talk about difficult relationships. I talk about them all over there. That is my other podcast I've been doing since 2019. And you might be able to relate to that if you are in any type of challenging situation in any of your relationships. Loveandabuse.com. And if you just happen to be the difficult person in the relationship, you've learned that you are guilting someone you love or controlling them, trying to change them, you might be being emotionally abusive. That almost sounds like a Jeff Foxworthy joke. I didn't mean to make it sound like that, but you might be being emotionally abusive if you are doing any of those behaviors. And if you want to change that about yourself, if you want to heal from that, if you want to feel lighter inside and not have to carry around all these triggers, head over to healedbeing.com and that program might be perfect for you. That's for the emotional abuser that wants to change, or anyone that found out that they were the difficult one in the relationship and they don't want to be that person anymore. HealedBeing.com. And finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And coincidentally, I had another email that talked a lot about what we talked about today. And I'm just going to read this because it is very relevant to today's subject matter. And just this will be a way I can close the show as well. We can close it on this note. This person wrote, "Thank you so much for answering my question on the air." So she was writing to me again to thank me for reading a letter of hers on the air a while back. I don't remember the letter, but she wrote this just recently, and I'm going to read it right now. She said, "Thank you so much for answering my question on the air. I ended up breaking up with my boyfriend by the time you aired the episode." Sorry about my tardiness there. I don't get to these letters sometimes for months, sometimes months and months because I get so many, but that can happen. So she broke up with her boyfriend. She says she realized the harsh truth that he likes the convenience I bring to his life, but doesn't like to inconvenience himself for me. She said, "I'm so angry," or "I was so angry. I said I needed space, but he was pressuring me to break up with him and never even said he wanted to change. Then he acted shocked and said I ruined his life and lifestyle when I broke it off. Now we have to find new places to live, but I know I'm making the right choice, even though it's not going to be easy to move forward. I'm not going to date for at least a year to focus on my codependency and self-trust." That's the part I wanted to read. "I love your honest takes and I appreciate you. I hope you keep doing what you're doing. You're really helping people." Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that because it's perfect for today's episode. I didn't line this up. This is just an email that I found right now after recording the first 50 minutes or so. And I thought this is perfect. I'm just going to read this at the end of the episode and it reinforces what I believe is the most helpful thing after getting out of any type of hurtful, toxic, emotionally abusive relationship or any difficult relationship where there was a challenge in getting along. And there was love too. I mean, the difficult relationships can and do include love. And you can miss the good parts of the relationship. And so this message is to reinforce. I mean, thank you for sharing this again. I'm so glad that you're on this new path in your life because it sounds like you are happier and you're going to be continuing to be happier as you heal. And yes, please, when you, I mean, she's already doing this. I'm just saying this in general. When you do have something that you feel like you need to fulfill in yourself and you feel like you need to get it from the other person, that could be revealing some codependency that you may need to address inside yourself so that you're not trying to inadvertently drain someone else and also inadvertently drain yourself because it's never fulfilled because you think what you need to do to get it fulfilled is to seek it from someone else. That doesn't mean you can't ever get love and connection and happiness from someone else. But it should be a complementary thing. It shouldn't be something that is the source of those things. You shouldn't look for happiness from someone else. You should have that inside yourself and be abundant in it enough. I mean, we're not all going to be like abundantly happy, but you should at least be happy enough so that when you get into a relationship, you aren't seeking happiness from them as your sole source of that happiness and other things. You're not seeking love from someone else as your sole source, your only source of love. This is why it's important to love yourself and be in as much abundance of that love and self-care and compassion and support and owning what you know to be true about yourself. And that might be the hard part. It's not true, Paul. I don't feel that way about myself. And this is something that if you don't feel these things about yourself or toward yourself, that's important you work on. You know, I realize people might hear this and think, well, it just sounds like you're becoming egoistic. It sounds like you're building your ego and inflating it, and you're just going to become this narcissistic person. No, that's not true. I look at it as the pendulum. I mean, it can be true. There are times, there are people that can do this, but I look at it as a pendulum swing. Your pendulum's either swinging all the way to the left, let's just say it's left, and that is indicating that you have deficit in something. The pendulum that swings all the way to the right means you are heavily abundant in it. And so you might have your pendulum swing in some areas of your life all the way to the left. And so how do you get that? You know, this is kind of like the negative numbers. How do you get from negative 100 to zero just to get that pendulum swing back up, you know, climb the ladder up to zero, and then maybe even a little further past? Well, sometimes you have to go a little overboard. You have to love yourself so much that the pendulum finally swings to the other side, and then it starts to balance itself in the middle because now you've experienced both extremes. And that's how I see a way to fulfill yourself. It's like the episode where I talked about how when I was a teenager and I got this muscle car, and before I got the car, I was very insecure inside myself. I was awkward. It felt weird talking to people. I don't know if it was social anxiety. It was just awkward. And after I got the muscle car, man, I felt great. Driving a muscle car to school and parking in the parking lot and people coming up to me and saying, oh my God, nice car. That was awesome. And so I was able to raise my ego and raise my self-esteem beyond that zero point, beyond that balance point, just enough so that when I felt good enough inside myself, that pendulum could swing back to the middle, and I felt more balanced. I felt more peaceful. I didn't have that awkwardness about me anymore. I was always sort of awkward, but I didn't have that old way of being, and that just changed my life. Just building that ego to the point where I felt so good about myself that I realized, hey, I'm in a better place now. And then I stopped. I didn't continue going and saying, I'm better than everyone else. I have a muscle car and you don't, because that does get into narcissistic and egoistic, unhealthy ego, I should say. And I believe there is a way to build your ego so it's healthy, so that you feel good inside yourself, so that you feel good loving yourself, so you know that it's okay to love yourself and be compassionate towards yourself and know that you're all that, know that you're a catch, and know that you are awesome. And well, you know where I'm going with this. Just keep an open mind, because that's how you step into your power so that you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. And if you have to build that ego up just to get past that zero point, just to get past the point where you feel so good that you have an abundance of that feeling inside of you that you can choose to share or not with other people, then that pendulum can finally start swinging in the middle, balancing itself out so that you feel so good inside yourself and realize that you are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead. so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.